Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of That Podcast. Enjoy the show.
Speaking of Eli, I got his side of the story.
No, on something. Okay. Ooh. You want to know what? We'll just cut this episode right here.
Yeah. You got some tea, as the kids like to say? No. Got some juice?
I heard that Dana was just, I don't even know the, it wasn't scared. It was like.
Downright petrified?
Yeah, like haunted almost. In the halls
of her
own.
It was more of a haunting than anything.
So
workplace.
So there's scared, there's terrified, and there's horrified. What were you?
Petrified.
Petrified, I think, is the same as terrified, where you can't move. You're just
here's the
petrified.
Thing.
Yeah,
petrified.
You've met your child.
Uh huh.
You should be on my side.
I will say, for a hot second, I had to ask her. I said, "Did he do it intentionally?"
She's all right, like, "No." Hold on. Back up. What's the story?
Yeah, DJ doesn't know the what story. Happened? Oh. You want Eli's version of
yeah,
it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Me and all of our fans want to know what happened.
So Eli works here at the church. He does custodial work.
Yes.
And so my understanding, was it the Ark kitchen?
Nope.
It was the fireside.
Yep.
So Dana was walking to the fireside kitchen, and Eli was also walking to the fireside kitchen, and Eli saw Dana in front of him and knew for a fact that he was going to scare the ever-living wits out of her. So he just kept walking anyway.
Wait, hold on real quickly. So was this during the daytime?
Yeah, so Eli's now started working during the day, which I didn't know. I go into the fireside. We have a hallway, right, to the fireside from the other hallway. I go into the kitchen. I don't remember what I do, but I leave. And I was like, I turn the light on. I will turn it back off. So I'm in the hallway. It's empty. I turn around, turn it off. Turn around, child.
Right there.
Just right there.
He's like,
and she goes, it was like a ghost just appeared.
He said, I could have said something, but I figured why not.
He could have let a little boo.
So, I mean, petrified. So did you just freeze and like no sound?
No, he
came
said
out?
She screamed.
Did you throw fisticuffs at him? Anything?
I basically, yeah, just kind of yelled at him. Backed up a minute and then just continued to yell at him.
Eli.
Like, is that a thing now? Can we, like,
Newman.
Newman. Yep. He was kind of proud of that. I'm actually kind of proud about how proud he was.
I got a text from Dana going, Eli just scared the living daylights out of me.
I don't even think I called him Eli. I'm pretty sure I called him Ryan Spawn.
Yeah, Ryan's child. Ryan Spawn just scared me. I was like, did he, like, intentionally? Because I was like, I would have been proud of it. If this was intentional, go, Eli.
It was so bad. He isn't even dignified with a name.
No. And then she goes, it was like a ghost. I'm like, oh, I suppose, you know, he's real pale. It's got the red hair. I was like, it's like Casper and Chucky just at the end of the hallway.
Yep. So, well, that makes sense now. So it was down the hallway.
So it was the fireside hallway, that little hallway.
Yeah.
And that light was off.
Because he was talking about you turning around and turning, and I'm like, why would she just be spinning circles down by the...
So now, every so often, if you see Dana, and all of a sudden she just does a loop, she's just protecting herself.
Just checking her surroundings.
Just making sure.
Checking the
Something
surroundings.
Something sounded suspicious.
Because I also was really mad because I had, like, my earbuds in, but I had the noise canceling on. So, like, I didn't even, like... I'm assuming, apparently, he didn't even try to make any noise, but I was like, I wouldn't have heard him anyways.
Right.
Nope, he didn't. He didn't even try.
That makes me even more mad at him.
Because
I just like turned around, yelled a string of expletives, and it was, and he was like, "Hey,
what's up?"
Yeah. So, and I talked with Melissa about this at the picnic. Mm-hmm. That what he used to do when he was little. I don't know how long he did this for, but it was for some time.
That kid's lucky he's still alive. I would have committed murder.
He never did it to me, but he did it to Tab all the time. Tab. We'd be middle of the night, we're sleeping, and all of a sudden she would feel this presence. And she'd just wake up.
At the end of the bed?
Open her eyes. No, he'd be standing like right next to her at the head of the bed, just staring at her. Jeez, what are you doing? I can't sleep.
I know that feeling, like my chest is tightening as you're talking about this, because I too know that little face right by your face
right
while you're sleeping.
Your
it's like, nice.
Yep.
Terrible.
So it's as bad as John Elway.
Hey, I see though. He's expanding the ranks of cardboard cutouts,
yeah,
though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of fun.
He's recruiting.
Is it?
Yeah. Did you see the You saw the picture. Yeah. Yeah, so
it was nice to see John. It's been a while.
Yeah.
I love how everybody else was like, oh, look. And I'm like, why is he still a thing?
Why is he still alive? Yeah.
It's like, so, I thought we got rid of him.
So somebody found a cardboard cutout of Tom Szymanski.
You now got to explain the entire story of what we're talking about.
We have a whole episode about John Elway, don't we?
Is there
a
whole episode about John?
There's probably.
I think we have several episodes of John Elway.
Real quickly, when we started the broadcast service, we would have to adjust cameras all the time. And so somebody would always have to go on the stage. Hey, Dana, can you go stand on the stage? Hey, Sarah, can you go stand on the stage? Get somebody to go stand on the stage. And one day I was like, you know what? So a long time ago.
I know somebody.
Like in 19.
I know a guy.
Like I know
It was either 98 or 99. It was after the Broncos won one of their two Super Bowls. One of my friends found a John Elway cardboard cutout at a bar and asked the manager, hey, when you're done with that, can I have it? And they're like, yeah, then we don't have to throw it away. Mm-hmm. So they got it and gave it to me. So John would be at my house scaring my wife for years, like two decades. And one day,
before
I was
Eli,
like,
there was John Elway.
Yeah, right.
Tom's just always been in a state of scared.
Yep. And so one day I was like, you know what? We could just hire John to come and stand on the stage.
Yeah, we could.
So for the longest time, John Elway lived behind the big screen in the arc.
And I think he worked for Room and Board.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yep. And then when I quit here and went over to KFGO, one day he just about killed Don Haney because Don Groth decided to bring him to the radio station. And
again, he worked for Room and Board.
Left. Don Groth just sat him there in the middle of the newsroom.
Of course he did.
At the time, Don Haney came in at like 3 a.m. It's pitch black. And there's
a body.
There's John Elway.
It's John Elway.
So John Elway made his rounds around KFGO and you know, all the FM stations, Y94 and Froggy and all those, scaring everybody.
He's been everywhere. He knows everybody.
He's like Johnny Cash. And then he went into just little storage area. So when Tom Szymanski cardboard cutout showed up, I brought out John. And so there's a picture now circulating of me, John Elway and me and Cardboard Tom and Real Tom all standing in the KFGO studio.
So when I saw that picture, I was wondering about this. Like the two tall Tom Szymanski, right?
Szymanski.
Mm-hmm. Is that actual size?
That's a life size. Now, Tom has told me in the past, and he said it again, that he has lost
But that was in his prime, right?
Yeah.
And so is the John Elway cutout life size? Because tall is over.
I don't remember how tall John Elway is, but okay. I mean, clearly that cardboard cutout is taller than I am.
Right.
So have you seen this?
I saw the picture.
Okay, you have a lot of pictures to add to this episode.
Oh, we're adding in.
Well, you got to add the radio. You got to add in the picture.
You got to add the link to the previous time we talked about John Elway. Yeah,
true.
Like get a list of stuff.
Here you go. I'm pretty sure I titled that whole episode something about John.
Here, editing Dana. These are your notes. Put your pictures in now.
Yeah.
Well, and speaking of that, I mean, we can just talk about this on here. Because we're all so busy people in all different places in life
size.
That we will do our best to get new episodes out every week. I should say Dana does her best to get new episodes out every week. But when we can't record, what we're going to start doing and have already started doing is what did you call it, Dana? It's
released from the vault.
Released from the vault.
Oh no!
Back when poor Sarah had to edit lapel mics.
Oh no! Those still exist.
They do.
At the recording of this one, Dana's released the first release from the vault, and I laughed so hard when I heard it, because who comes on but the glorious, well-versed, incredibly entertaining, and punctual and informative, the Reverend Dr. Paul Cross.
Ah.
So
what
good.
Were we talking about?
I had to say I was sorry because you and I had a conversation about Christmas and the dates. And I guess in a previous episode, I was corrected by the wonderful Dr. S. Uh-huh. That I got the maths wrong.
Oh, sure. Yep.
And then on came the venerable Dr. Cross, and he had just come back from vacation from all of these national parks, as yeah. he's oh. wont to do. And I think mm-hmm. he's hit them all at this uh-huh. point. If not, he's got the vast majority. Yeah. And so he was telling us about his adventures, and it's shenanigans, tomfoolery of the highest order.
Because yeah. It's just the three of you. Just,
just the three of us.
It's going to be like when you watch an old, like, you know, in Disney Plus, you go be like, man, I haven't seen this Disney movie in so long. It's a real old one. It's like, why is there 45 minutes of things before before the movie starts? Why am I getting all the end credits now?
Oh, Paul was funny. Remember when he wanted this 15 minutes long?
Oh, yeah.
No more than 15
yeah,
minutes?
Yeah, keep it to
15
minutes.
No, this long, 45 mm-hmm. minutes.
Nobody's going to listen to
no one's
going to
listen
minutes.
To 45
An
minutes.
An hour episode?
And I'm sitting there going, he can't even introduce himself in 15 minutes.
You said that to him at one point.
I did.
I have the evidence. I listened to the first 15 minutes of it, or the first 10 minutes on the ride home. We were just getting through the introductions at that point.
Yeah.
We didn't even get into anything.
Oh, man.
Well, welcome, Pastor Paul Cross. Well, thanks for joining us for another episode of that podcast.
Okay. See you next time.
Maybe next time we'll actually get to talk about something if we time ourselves right.
Yep.
Well, I love it. So please understand that if new episodes have not come out, there are some oldies but goodies that we definitely want to share with you that are worth listening to because they are funny.
That's good.
I just funny. Randomly pick.
Yes.
That's awesome.
She's got a wheel that like just spins it. In her office, and it's got 200 numbers on it. Is that how it works? Is that what you do?
No. I just went into a random number generator.
Oh, okay. It's she sciences it wheel. Out. Yeah, there we go.
And then if I don't like that number, I pick a new one.
She listens to the first 5 minutes. Nope, not that one.
No.
What else we got?
I didn't even get that far. I was like, looked at it. Looked what was in the description, and I went, no.
No, not that one. That's fair.
Wrong.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Maybe one day, but not not that one.
So, what else is going on?
They found Noah's Ark.
You were mentioning this before. Mm-hmm. You know, this comes up like every couple years.
Well, I mean, like they find something, it seems like.
This time.
Is it in Kentucky? Because if it is, I've seen it. It's not the original. It's huge. It's
also,
cool.
Also, Ryan, if you believe that. I have a great story for you, because did you know that Jesus lived here in the USA?
So, well, they didn't find it in the U.S.
They have a great musical about it.
Oh, there we go.
They did not find it in the U.S. So, this is from the New York Post.
Okay. But so, sort of legit.
But they're citing other, I guess they're citing, well, let me just read it. All right.
Real quickly, New York Post's tagline is, aren't they all the news that's fit to print? Is that them?
Is that the
National Enquirer?
The Times is the paper of record, I thought.
Oh, I'm not
but
sure.
I didn't know they had taglines.
They do, yeah.
Okay, so American researchers claim to have cracked one of the Bible's enduring mysteries after using radar technology to map the possible remains of Noah's Ark. Mm. It is exactly what you'd expect to find if this were a man-made boat consistent with the biblical specifications of Noah's Ark, Andrew Jones, an independent researcher, told the Christian Broadcasting Network while revealing the results of his multi-year project. Jones works with Noah's Ark Scans, which he described as a loose organization of individuals interested in pursuing scientific work and promoting the site of the Ark. Jones and his team were attempting to solve the age-old question of whether the legendary vessel is buried in the mountains of eastern Turkey, roughly 18 miles south of Mount Ararat, which the Bible describes as the boat's final resting place.
Okay.
The exact spot is the Durapanar site, a 538-foot long boat-shaped mound with the same Book of Genesis described dimensions as the Ark. While the idea that this area houses the legendary life raft, an object central to Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, is a topic of dispute, recent scans appear to indicate that it could be the case. Jones used ground-penetrating radar to detect what appeared to be a 13-foot tunnel traversing the center of the formation. These same...
Time out real quick. Mm-hmm. So it's not a boat. It's the mound? Like it's... Is it a hill? What?
Well, hold on.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. These same scans captured a trifecta of subterranean layers that were alleged dead ringers for the Bible's description of the boat's three decks. In other words, it was literally ship shape.
Huh.
The book
that was terrible.
Make a roof. Okay.
You know whoever wrote that was super proud of that, too.
Oh, yeah, they were. They were. A new analysis of the radar data allegedly revealed central and size corridors or hallways running through the boat. So they've got scans in here, too, that they show. Given the age of the alleged vessel, Jones said he doesn't expect to find anything fully preserved, claiming that the remains constitute a chemical imprint, pieces of wood, and in the ground, the shape of a hull. Also uncovered were angular structures situated 20 feet beneath the surface that the team surmises could be quarters beneath a deck-like surface, making this potentially more than just a geological formation, as many scientists have posited. This is not what you'd expect to see if the site were simply a solid block of rock or the result of random mud flow debris, said Jones, who felt it instead matched the biblical specifications of Noah's Ark. But was this actual evidence or just a case of life imitating arc? Oh, boy, this guy's bad. The organic matter found around the site seems to suggest that it wasn't just...
Wait. Was that pun arc?
Yes.
Oh, that's hilarious. I like this guy. Go ahead.
We noticed that the grass growing within the boat-shaped formation is a different color compared to the area just outside it. Jones, who believed this discrepancy suggested a human-made origin. Meanwhile, an examination of 22 soil samples collected from the site revealed that the suspected structure had lower pH levels, two times the organic matter, and 40% more potassium inside compared to outside the formation, discrepancies the team deemed consistent with rotting wood. If you know soil science, as I'm a soil scientist, you'll understand that potassium levels, organic matter, and pH can all be influenced by decaying organic material, said William Crabtree, another member of Noah's Ark scans. If this was a wooden boat and the wood had rotted over time, we would expect to see elevated levels of potassium, changes in pH, and higher organic content, and that's exactly what we're finding. In the future, the team hopes to conduct a core drilling survey along with additional ground-penetrating radar scans around the depository to better discern what lies beneath. We want to compare what's inside the formation to what's outside. That could give us a much clearer picture of whether this is truly something man-made. So here's
Why don't they just dig it up?
Well, so there's the, like, the...
The mound.
The mound. And then if you scroll down, then you'll find the scans that they have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
That might... that's just a... Yeah.
I have two questions that came to my mind right away. Mm-hmm. So they found this scan at the Mount Ararat site.
Mm-hmm. 18 miles south of there, I think.
Why did this scan do something that all the people searching that site throughout history have never been able to find? That's my first question.
Well, it doesn't say that.
Because usually people are like, well, we think it's in this area, you know, by this place called Mount Ararat, but we've never been able to find anything, so we're looking in the surrounding areas, right? Mm-hmm. And it's on a mountain somewhere. Well, now this guy's saying, like, at the site that it says in the Bible, here's this mound.
So, yeah, what did it say, 18 miles south of there? Yeah, roughly 18 miles south of Mount Ararat.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so then my next question is, how long does it take wood to...
Decompose? That's my question.
Because it's been not 2,000 years, not 3,000 years, not even 4,000 years. Right. We're saying prehistory was Noah and the flood. So if this is the actual ark,
There were some great preservatives in that.
Hey, man, I don't know how fast wood decomposes.
I don't know.
So, well, I mean, could it have been? Is it
like fossilized almost?
Yeah, like they're taking samples. Yeah, I suppose. But is the mound, is it all disintegrated? So it's just like the outline of a boat.
I'm not sure.
Those are the questions that come to me because this stuff comes up every couple of years. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I had a confirmation student once that I thought gave the best answer I've ever heard for what happened to Noah's Ark.
Okay.
Because, you know, we were talking about it and like, you know, every so often people say they've found a location of where the ark may be. Mm-hmm. Right. And he's like, there's no ark anymore. I'm like, well, what do you mean? He goes, well, there was an ark, but after they got out of the boat, they needed wood for houses.
Oh. I've always said that too.
So
that's a great point.
Most likely, they tore it down and used it because why not?
Yeah.
I mean, why would you just leave this gigantic boat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you'd think if in out history, if there's a gigantic boat that's been sitting on a mountain somewhere, it would come up. Would have come up in other like records and stuff. So the idea
I remember asking my grandma that once of like, why didn't they just like take it apart and use it?
It seems like the most, it reminds me of Yoda in talking to Obi-Wan about what happened to this missing planet. Mm-hmm. And he said, children, any ideas? And they're like, it's not there because someone deleted it from the database. And he's like, ah, truly brilliant. The mind of a child. Right. Well, yeah, I mean, doesn't it make sense that they would have just
repurposed
it and used it? Yeah.
Well, I'll play devil's advocate here now.
Sure.
It got all wet.
It's a boat.
Well, right.
It's designed to get wet.
But have you ever had your, like, do you go to Menards or Fleet Farm or wherever? You can tell which pieces of wood got wet because they're all warped and you can't do anything with them.
Well, but that would explain, like, if the hull still existed, but, like, the interior of, like, they're saying that there are, like, hallways that they found.
Well, and we're also talking, like, prehistoric homes. We're not talking, like, a 5-bedroom, 4-bath in the burbs. Like, Noah wasn't trying to build.
They were using 2x4s. Didn't you ever read it?
Like, I don't think Noah was getting mad that rotting his DeWalt too. Didn't.
I don't know. I wasn't there.
It's very interesting, and it's like, you know, it's a curiosity, and just like anything, I hope there's other people that are going to go look at the site too, and then we'll have a better idea of what is it's what is this.
Yeah,
but here's my other question with that too. It's cool if they found it. Mm-hmm. Does it really make a difference if they found the actual ark or not? Is that important? You know, is that important?
Well, to them it is.
I mean, to the faith, is it important? Like, is because the things that we have evidence for, archaeologically speaking, give all kinds of credence to, you know, King David. There's a time, 100 years ago, 150 years ago, that they thought King David was a myth.
Mm-hmm.
Not anymore. Yeah. There's so much evidence for King David and the kingdom and so on. And there's evidence all over the place for things that are mentioned about in Genesis too, right?
Yep.
I guess my point is, and this is a pun that I'll use, is Noah's Ark like the Holy Grail? Is it something that is really important to people's faith life or what?
I think the only time it would be if you got into like a discussion with somebody and they're like, it's all fairy tale. Well, no, they found the Ark, so.
Right.
Sometimes my inner cynic thinks though, like, I almost don't want them to find it because what are humans going to do? All of a sudden now there's
the British Museum will
or there's a tent now and it's $40 to go look at it, take a picture of this thing now behind glass, like, right?
Weren't you telling, Dana, weren't you telling Mark and me about the Mona Lisa?
Yes.
And how, explain, it's like, it's this little picture.
Yeah, it's a giant room. Okay, I think there are other paintings in the room.
Compared to a Bible, what size is the Mona Lisa?
It's the size of it, isn't it? It's like
it's
8x10.
Than that. No, okay. It's probably a good, like,
11x14?
I was thinking like 11x17. It's probably like 17 inches tall.
Oh, well, that's a good size.
The Mona Lisa, though, is the original marketing scam.
Yeah. It is it's not super small, but it is smaller than you think it is. And it is on a wall by itself, roped off. And that's almost essentially the only thing in that room.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a giant room.
I imagine that.
Like, think the Ark. And then just a wall in the middle of it, and it's the Mona Lisa.
In my head, I picture this gigantic, like, white room.
That's yes. Well, or just I the imagine Mona Lisa. Yeah. The museum curator there has to be like, you made me mad today. Your painting goes next to the Mona Lisa. Nobody takes a picture of it.
Well, because I'm like, I can't even remember if there are other paintings in the room because no one bothers to look at them. It's like sure. You walk into the room, there's so many people, and you like either stand there forever hoping that you get to the front or you just go, eh.
Yep.
So does it have the laser beams for the
It's in a glass box.
Yeah? It's the glass box from the Knives Out Glass Onion movie, if you've seen that on Netflix. Yeah.
I've wanted to watch it a bunch of times. I still haven't.
Well, and so if they found Noah's Ark, uh-huh. Are they going to put it in a gigantic British Museum room that's all white? And you walk in and you're like, huh, it's smaller than I thought it was going to be. Yeah.
You know, I think my pontoon's a little bit larger than that. I always thought it'd be
my
at
yacht,
least.
My like 100-foot yacht.
When she was telling us about the Mona Lisa and then this idea of Noah's Ark, you know the great Scott Hall and mm-hmm. Kevin Nash, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Legends.
My favorite line in all of professional wrestling was he going on WCW Nitro when I was in college. I'm
Who's
watching
he?
It. Scott Hall.
Okay.
And the great Larry Zbysko is the commentator. And he walks up to him and he goes, the great Larry Zbysko thought you'd be bigger. And you got Scott Hall standing there and Kevin Nash is like 7 feet tall. And then Paul White, who's 7'2".
Yep.
And then Larry Zbysko. Anyway.
I always, now we're going down the ditch here, but I always thought, well, Scott Hall, he's so tiny, you know, because he was always hanging out with
these gigantic guys.
Right. And and then you realize that he's a tall dude. He's like 6'6 or 6'7.
It's what happens whenever you go into like a professional wrestling match and watch it, just how big these guys are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, I digress.
I feel that way about Rhett and Link, where you're like, oh. You Link's know, really short. No, he's not. He's like 6'2". It's just that Rhett's a giant.
Hilariously, so Sanford had their golf tournament and gala the end of this week, and they had Chad Greenway,
KOC.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And Austin's cousin got a picture with them, and his cousin's pretty tall. He's probably like 6'2", 6'3".
Kevin O'Connell's a big dude.
He's mm-hmm. taller than Chad Greenway, though. Mm-hmm. His cousin is, and I was like, you played for the NFL. I always thought you had to be a much taller human for that.
Isn't that interesting when you meet professional athletes on TV? They look
gigantic. Well, there's the obvious, right? Like Simone Biles is pint-sized. Mm-hmm. Like,
but like she's actually like way smaller than I think she
should like
be.
4 feet tall.
Yeah.
Well, right. Well,
Muggsy Bogues was 5'3", remember? I think he could dunk a basketball.
He could. Spud Webb could. Spud Webb was 5'7".
Yep. But Muggsy was 5'3".
Muggsy was amazing.
Like, how do you train that when you're that short?
I don't know. He played basketball. He didn't. I mean, he didn't play that long.
With you everywhere. Yeah.
Apparently, I don't think he played that long, but he played
long enough to be in Space Jam with Michael Jordan.
And for everybody to remember Muggsy Bogues. But I think we remember more because he was so short.
Yeah. You ever watch him dribble, though? He was amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if his Christian name was Muggsy.
Of course it was.
Like, is that on his birth certificate?
He's Are you telling 60. Me that?
Is he really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Let's see here.
The 90s were 30 years ago, guys.
So is Charles Barkley.
Muggsy Bogues was 5'3", 137 pounds.
Wow.
Hmm. Let's see. I know there's a picture of him next to Shaq.
Yes.
I always love the picture of people next to Shaq.
Everybody next to Shaq is funny. Just...
Right. And Shaq was what? 5'9", 5'10"? So just towering over Muggsy.
They exaggerated.
Just a small man.
Isn't there a picture of like Shaquille O'Neal next to Simone Biles?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But then you put, there's a picture then of, I think it's just like photoshopped together of Shaq next to Yao Ming. And Shaq is like, finally, I get to feel short.
Yeah, right.
I think I've seen that. Everybody feels with me.
See, and it's those types of photos where I go, that's not real.
Yeah, like, those are the photos where I'm like, was Michael Jordan actually that tall, or did they stretch him? Like, did they stretch the photo?
Well, I mean, Shaq is, what, 7'1"?
Seven one,
and Muggsy's 5'3", so.
Yeah. For true.
He's like the height of a Midwestern mom.
The stuff of, like, Shaq with Kevin Hart now?
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, they're just tiny.
When I was in high school... in Washington, we had one game a year where we went to where the Sonics played, and we played a game, basketball game in the same place, right? And Sonic's, I can't remember what it was called, but the Coliseum. And then we got to hang out as the Sonics came out and warmed up. And so I remember very vividly being on the basketball court, looking up and seeing Sean Kemp and being like, he is so tall.
Mm-hmm.
They're just really tall guys and just great shape and stuff. And just very, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Just, but it's at the same time, it's like on TV, they seem larger than life. In real life, it's like, huh, that's an actual person.
Yeah. Well, right. Yeah, that's
real
like
human being.
Going to see the Timberwolves now and you see Rudy Gobert and you're like, oh my gosh, is that guy huge?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Or so, the one guy that plays Reacher.
Yes.
Jack Reacher? Isn't that Tom Cruise?
No. In the TV show.
There's a new one.
The Amazon show.
Yeah. He's a huge guy, because
he's like bigger than like some of like the big Hollywood guys. Like he's bigger than Henry Cavill. He's bigger than.
And he's huge. North Dakota claims him because he used to live in Grand Forks when he was young.
North Dakota has a habit of doing that.
Yeah. Like what's the other one?
Wiz Khalifa.
There we go. I was like, there's another one.
Wiz Khalifa was what? Born?
He was born in Minot and then immediately moved.
Yeah. And they're like, really? But he's from here.
He's a North Dakotan.
Joe Burrow. What'd he go to school for, a semester or something?
Yes. Well, we'll take him.
This is the linebacker from Blue Mountain State.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Alan Richson. Yes.
This guy. Yeah, that's his name. That's his name.
He's huge. I know him from this very like American Pie-esque TV show in the 2010s. So it's
How tall is he?
Like
he's tall.
Almost 7 feet, but he's
a big dude.
Yeah.
He's 42 years old, 6'3". Not that tall.
He's not that tall. Ripped.
He's kind of known for being an outspoken Christian.
Okay.
I don't know what his story is or anything like that. So, you know, but of Hollywood people, there's certain ones, you know, Chris Pratt, he's a Christian. This guy's a Christian.
Hmm.
I can't really think of anybody else at this point, but
Justin Bieber.
Mel Gibson.
Yeah. Mel Gibson. Yeah, and so you kind of, it's weird that we like, if someone's a Christian and a celebrity, it's like, "Oh,
yeah.
Everyone knows that they're a Christian, apparently."
Right. So. Yep. Thanks for joining us for this episode of That Podcast. Don't forget that you can find us every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30, either here at Atonement, 4601 South University Drive in Fargo, or online at atonement.live or atonementfargo.org. We also have a YouTube channel where you can find our services live or wide variety of resources. Again, that's YouTube, atonement.live, or atonementfargo.org. So for all of us here at Atonement, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time for another riveting episode of That Podcast.